We've mentioned zombie dogs. There's the slow walking zombies. There's plant zombies. But the running zombies are going to be a no from me, dog. Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Hello, I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 191. The numbers are just climbing. And we just completed our 24-hour live stream.
I'm dead inside. I've got bags under my eyes.
Yeah, it's I woke up this morning feeling like I just got hit by a truck. I really
Wait,
did.
Really? I feel accomplished, though. You know, like we did a pretty good job.
I thought it was, for the most part, high quality. We consistently had our friends in there, you know, joining us. So thank you guys for coming around.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't feel like any of us had to go even an hour by ourselves completely.
No. Even at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning.
You were going
overnight shift. I had people in there watching and talking and cheering me.
Like
on.
It never dropped below 15. I mean, sometimes, but not much.
No. Thank you so much for coming around. If you did, and if you didn't, there will be some VODs that you can catch later. We're gonna try to take each block or each game, right?
Each game, yeah.
And make that available for your viewing pleasure at a different time. Guys, based on being a part of it and watching, what is a highlight or two that you think you just have fond memories of and you would encourage people to go and watch?
Kenny, do you have your answer or are you going to think?
I've got two answers. Playing What's together time was a lot of fun. We did defuse this bomb or somebody dies. Just keep communicating or else the
just
bomb
keep talking
goes off.
And nobody explodes. No, that's not it either.
No, I think you got it right. I just never actually remember the name of the game, so that was a little tongue in cheek.
Either way.
But that was fun playing a collaborative sort of group puzzle game as our anchor was a lot of fun. And I loved all the games I got to play. Probably the funniest moment was when I spilled the soda all over myself and my computer in the middle of the stream.
I got to catch that live.
Had to stop for a second because
we did clip that, so you'll be able to see that. One of my favorite moments was watching Kenny revisit Earthworm Jim.
Oh my god!
Oh, I repressed that boss.
The guy was a trooper, but it took him the full hour of that slot to beat the first level, and it was amazing.
I really hate that game. I don't hate that game because I feel like it's a good game.
I think you do, though.
But I'm bad at platformers and especially bad at that one for some reason. It just, like, the way the mechanics work feel odd to me, and I just failed at it over and over and over again, even, like, using save states. So I wasn't, like, super abusive with them. I should have been. It destroyed me.
Oh, I'm super abusive.
But it verified
I gotta finish my sentence, Kenny. I'm super abusive of save states. Me off at super abusive.
Tom's gonna edit that.
That's an awkward time to.
My favorite moment was figuring out, or not figuring out, but experiencing a Link to the Past randomizer for the first time. I'd heard a lot of hype around it. We even have some folks in Discord that play it often, and Grim speedruns it a lot. And I played it, and it was so much fun. Like, I could have played it for a long time.
It was filling you with joy. you could have played that for a long time, your entire block, time.
Yeah, and then some. Plus, like, it was so good.
Well, it was a lot of fun. Again, the VODs are going to be available on our YouTube, which youtube.com/newgameplus podcast. Go and check out some of those. Today, for this unique particular episode, it's going to be entirely different than what we've done before. It's an incredibly special episode because we are having, for the first time, one of our own patrons on to talk about a game.
Yeah, it's going to be new to us because we've never done that, but Limit Break is going to be joining us. Limit Break went far and above and supported us this summer, I think, for the Patreon tier that gets you on the episode. And so it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're very excited.
So he hand-selected the retro game of the week that we're going to be playing. And in just a moment, he's going to be joining us. If we do say anything weird, just remember, again, we just finished our 24-hour live stream. So we're pretty much walking zombies over
here. I can't even talk.
Oh!
Like in our retro game of the week, Resident Evil!
Overview.
Limit Break is now here with us. We want to welcome you officially to the show, man. Welcome.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, what's up? It's
so good to have you here. You picked the game Resident Evil. Out of all games that you could have picked, this is the one that you ended up going with. And not even the original Resident Evil.
No.
You went with the remake GameCube version that came out in 2002. Why did you pick this game?
Well, I was probably like 7 or 8 years old, and we were out Halloween, you know, trick-or-treating. And we came home, and the very first horror movie I ever seen, my stepdad showed it to me, and it was Night of the Living Dead, the black and white. So I like, was terrified, but I became obsessed with zombies. Dad, the next year, I got a PS1 for Christmas, and my dad went and got the original Resident Evil for me. It's the only game I had for like a whole year, played through that. And then a few years later, the remake came out, and we rented it. And I just fell in love with the remake. It was just an upgrade compared to the first one in every aspect.
So horror is your genre, like in all way, in all shapes?
Yeah. Like, is it my main genre you're asking?
Yeah, just it sounds like you're really into scary movies, scary games.
I'm actually a wimp now when it comes to scary movies because my girlfriend won't watch them. So I'm 8 years deep of not watching scary movies. But
okay, gosh, fair enough.
But games, yeah. It's not my favorite genre. But Resident Evil is my favorite franchise. I mean, I play some Silent Hills and stuff. But RPGs are definitely my favorite genre.
Nice. Oh, okay.
All I know is that at 7 years old, I had, or 8 or 9 or whenever I had picked up Resident Evil, I'd still be having nightmares about it to this day. So you have a stronger constitution than I.
For those of you that don't know, you're hearing it now, but Resident Evil is not some little kid's game. It's not comparable to Rugrats or Mary-Kate and Ashley Magical Mystery Mall. No, Resident Evil is a survival horror game. I believe we've only played one other on the show.
And you alone. Didn't even play it.
Alone in the Dark? Yes, I did. I played that one. Which one are you talking
two,
about?
Because
he's talking about Enemy
had,
Zero.
Yeah. Oh.
Enemy Zero survival two. Horror.
That's a, yeah, sci-fi one and Alone in the Dark, remember? But it wasn't realistic at all. So
no. It
wasn't, and there were jump scares, but maybe not as scary. How do you two do with scary movies?
Oh, as good as with games, like terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I can handle them, but
Kenny's
I just don't.
Kenny's not a tough boy.
I just don't like to. Like they don't actually bug me, but I will never go out of my way to choose that as my entertainment.
No. See, I love horror movies and games. Survival horror is a genre I came to pretty late, but when I got there, I definitely appreciate it.
I like scary movies and games and media. I'm not the jump scare, terrify you type stuff. I like the stuff that sits with you and scares you. So some of the lore of Resident Evil I'm all about, but the freaking open a door and a zombie falls out at me and tries to bite my throat, I'm not okay with.
You'd rather do psychological thriller than scary pop-up horror.
Yes. So you heard it from Limit Break. Resident Evil originally came out on the PlayStation in 1996, but the game that we play this year was released 6 years later for the GameCube. And the only other game that we've played on the episode on the GameCube is Animal Crossing, I believe. So we haven't played many.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
This game was developed and published by Capcom, and you know Capcom.
Yeah. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Well, okay.
That's what they're known for.
That's what you know.
Others. It's the same director that designed and directed the original. So it's in good hands. And if I was a fan of the series at this point, I would have been pleased to hear that was the route they were going.
Yeah. Apparently the guy who was the director of the original one was like, the final product didn't age well. And so I think now that we have this console and this technology, I want to take another stab at it. And I think that's really cool, especially if it's the same person. Like remakes happen all the time. But since it was him,
he had a really good reason for the remake. If you read about it, he said he wasn't able to make Resident Evil what he envisioned at the time because of the limitations. And so 6 years later, he was like, I think we've got what we need to make it how I wanted it to be. And so being in the hands of the director like that, I'm completely cool with that idea.
And that 100% mirrors Limit Break's story about like, hey, I played the first one and then I played the second one and it was like the same thing, but just completely better.
Yeah, they're super indecisive though too at Capcom about these Resident Evil games. Like they made the second one and you can get it now. It's called Resident Evil 1.5. And they completed the second game 90% and then completely scrapped it and restarted because the original two characters never met in the second game. So they scrapped it and put Claire in there, and the original girl's name was Elsa Walker. So she's gone. So
look at you knowing your Resident Evil lore. Yeah. So Limit Break, having played both the original and the remake, without going into like extreme detail, we'll do some of that in the gameplay section. But what are some of the advancements that came about in this remake?
Well, they had the graphical uphaul, definitely.
Sure.
But the defensive weapons were not in the original. That hallway where you meet that first zombie, where there's that door to the left, that was never there. That back graveyard was never there. There's a lot more rooms in the remake than the original.
Got you. So new rooms to explore, new puzzles, a few new gameplay mechanics, and then the graphics were the huge thing. They shifted to 3D models for the first time.
New story or a dialogue too?
New story elements.
Yeah, there's new story elements. And the biggest thing that caught me and my cousin completely off guard was the Crimson Heads, the zombies coming back. We had no idea. We kept running down this hall and then out of nowhere he just jumps up and we screamed at the controller.
Absolute worst design decision. I hate
no,
it.
We'll
talk about it momentarily. But I do want to hit the story real quick before we finish this section. It was 1998, and the Midwestern fictional town of Raccoon City has had a lot of people die under mysterious circumstances. And Chris Redfield and Jill Valentine are a part of an elite special forces unit who are sent into the city to investigate the murders, investigate what's going on. And they land in the forest outside of this abandoned mansion. Immediately, everything starts to go wrong. This is all in the cutscene at the beginning of the remake. Long story short, zombies.
And zombie dogs,
zombie plants, zombies,
everything.
Zombie everything, and things literally, I think, in a lot of ways, go to hell very quickly.
Gameplay.
All right, so the gameplay of this game is pretty straightforward. You're exploring a mansion. That is the premise. That's what your main goal is. You need to you don't know what's going on, so it's a mystery. So there's something you're needing to solve. You're a professional, of course, your character is. And you get put into this big mansion, and you're walking around. You're finding clues to help solve this puzzle, to help save your Alpha team members, some of the Bravo team members as well. And you do that through dodging enemies most of the time. There's a really big difference in this game between this game and other common games when it comes to guns. You're given a gun, but Resident Evil, the series, is kind of set up so that they don't give you a lot of ammunition. And so the game's not so much, oh yeah, let's just go shoot zombies like Left 4 Dead kind of thing. It's more so, let me stay alive. And so they really didn't give you a ton of tools to use.
Yeah, I think when you hear a lot of these sort of game titles, I just sort of default to thinking that it's going to be like first person shooters, just because I've played some first person style survival games. But nothing about this game is that. It's third person. You're shooting when you don't have any other choice, but your ammo's running out. And it's more about survival than it is about action.
You've said a few things here, but the one of the big things is you're not playing as you. You've said you a few times. You're one of two different characters, and that's a big thing from the very beginning. You get to select who you're playing as.
Right, and I'm Team Jill all the way. Fight me.
Same
well,
here.
Yeah, Team Jill.
Okay. Am I the only one that played Chris?
You would.
Definitely.
You sexist pig.
What? Is that how that works?
What drew you to Chris, Kenny?
I don't know.
Besides his eyes.
He's one of two options.
He could take more damage. He just can't carry as much.
Yes.
Good point.
There are differences to these two characters. Chris has, I believe, more health. Jill has more storage. And the story is a bit different there. Is that true, Limit Break?
Yeah, because throughout the mansion, Jill deals with Barry a lot. Well, while Chris Barry. Deals with Barry. Chris deals with Rebecca the whole time.
Okay. But still fundamentally the same? Are you going to end up kind of with the same story there?
And the end result, yeah. They're both the same end result. There's differences through the story, but the end result's the same.
It's different enough that you're going to want to go back and play through the other character if you enjoyed your first playthrough. Because, you part ways different, like timed events happen or scheduled events happen for each character. And so I've actually never played as Chris. I've played this game briefly in the past. I've always picked Jill.
Yeah, I will say if I knew that she had more storage, I would have played Jill in a heartbeat because this game, it's trying to be challenging. It limits your ammo.
Survival.
But, yeah. Right, it's survival, but it's also all about finding things to heal you, keys to get into doors, clues, other keys, stuff that you think is one thing and then it's something else. And you've got to carry and manage all this stuff. Even items that you have to find to be able to save your game are limited, which is super intriguing. And so I found myself often having to really make choices about what I was going to carry and what I wasn't. And if I knew there was a character that had even a little bit more storage space, I would have opted for that character in a heartbeat.
See that Chris thing too, where you got to carry the small keys? That's Chris only. Jill never has to carry small keys to open anything.
Yeah, she's given lockpick.
Yeah, she has lockpicks.
I can't imagine playing this game with more limited inventory space than I already had because I was regularly having to go back to one of my only two for the first large portion of the game, two safe rooms with little caches where I could store some of my items. But I was having to go there regularly because I still felt limited. How many spaces did you have as Chris? Only like four?
Six.
Six.
We had
still
what,
rough.
Eight or so?
Yeah, eight. With
we had eight. But you've got limited ammo, limited storage space. It's all about survival. And as they've already mentioned, zombies aren't permanently killed. I mean, in any zombie lore, they keep coming back to you unless you take them out in the head or you set them ablaze. Those are the two ways to permanently destroy zombies here. Or they come back as, what are they called, crimsons?
Crimson heads.
That's so crazy.
Terrifying.
Again, I think the trick in this game, or not the trick, just kind of the qualm about Resident Evil is not so much combat oriented. And I point that out because so many games are, especially zombie games, they're hack and slash games or shooters. But in this one, there's an art form to dodging enemies and leaving them in the hallway and going to the next room. Like I do that all the time because it's smarter to save your bullets for more like important parts of the game. And I really love that. It definitely feels survival horror instead of just like, ooh, jump scare, this is a horror game, but you're doing fine on resources.
I would rather have a machine gun and plow through all these zombies, I'll just tell you that.
There's only certain hallways where you actually should clear out zombies. Like if you're going to travel there constantly, like there's one that's there's a save room right near where you go to the greenhouse. And that like whole area, you want to clear everything out because you got to go in there 30, 40 times.
There are different kinds of zombies here. We've mentioned zombie dogs. There's the slow walking zombies. There's the crimson heads. There's plant zombies. But the running zombies are going to be a no from me, dog.
A no from me, dog? Why? It's too scary?
Oh, I don't like zombies, but don't run at me. I swear to God, don't run at me. Because
what would you rather them do? Skip?
I would rather, I would like skipping zombies. But I would just prefer, I would prefer for them to just chill, for one. And then two, if they are going to come at me, slow lumber zombies is what I want. If you're running at me and trying to like just slash at me, that's a no.
Did you ever come across the hunters or the... I can't remember the name of
that's late game.
Yeah, there's a spider zombie too late game.
Oh
no. No, see, no, because I quit before then. I was like, no, if we're going to keep trying to like one up the previous zombie form, then I'm just going to give that a let's not do that.
Limit, remind me, did Mr. X make it into the first one or is that later in the series?
So that's X-Men, I think.
Oh.
Mr. X is the whole story behind him. I won't go into crazy detail, but there's a guy who they cloned. He is like the one in the millionth that has the DNA to make tyrants. Mr. X is just a tyrant. And tyrants are in pretty much all the games, but Mr. X is just a smarter, more controlled form of it. But no.
And he's terrifying. Yeah, you would know if you saw him, Dustin.
Because technically there is a tyrant in the game, but it's not Mr. X. Not even close.
Okay. Kenny, you mentioned something earlier that I think is actually really unique to this game and to the series. Because keep in mind, we've mentioned it already, this was the first Resident Evil. It's just a remake on the GameCube. And it's very different, yes, but Resident Evil's the start of a series. And something about the series that I've always thought was crazy is that you can't just go save your game anywhere. And you also can't always go to a save room to save. Like in JRPGs, you go to a save point. You have to go to a room to save, and you have to have ink ribbons for the typewriter so that you can save your game, which means there's a limited amount of saves in this entire game.
I'm all about it.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah, it adds to the like to the intensity of the whole experience.
Yes.
If you know, save too often, then you're stuck in this game not saving and having to survive. It just, yeah, it adds one more layer of like,
strategy,
Strategy, realism, survival. I can be all about it and still say it doesn't not suck. Like, it sucks a lot, but it is still a good part of it. Like, if you're going to go with the bare bones items, running out of ammo, conserving your ammo, celebrating when you do get that, is it just randomized headshot? Because there are shots that I did that did explode their heads.
It's not so much randomized. It's kind of, but it's mostly with every gun you have. Aim high if you're close to them. Shotguns are pretty much automatic. Yeah, you can aim automatic. And a good trick when you play this game is if you're not sure, like you enter a new room, just keep tapping that aim button because she auto locks. So she'll auto lock automatically. And like if you think you killed a zombie but you're not sure, just keep trying to aim because it'll auto lock on it if you didn't kill it.
Pro tip. That's heard it here first.
I really appreciate in this game that it is different from what I remember, because I have played a few Resident Evils and then I've read some this week, that they get more and more away from puzzle and more and more towards the action oriented side of things. Yeah, I know that's unfortunate for some, especially that love the origins of the series, but, and I think I would be all about that. But with this one, and probably other ones too, it's not always stand there and fight the zombies. What I really appreciated about watching you a lot this last week, Limit Break, because you were streaming some, is that you're running from almost everything. And there's even a strategy that I was starting to get good at this week of like, get close to the zombie, they'll lurch at you, back away, and then you'll have enough of a window to get around them. So there's different strategies there, but all of this comes in together to like really give a tight survival game. There's really two portions to this game. There's the survival portion that I think they did exceptionally well, and then there's the puzzle portion that I always think that puzzle portions of video games are somewhat hard to do.
Yeah, some of the puzzles can be tough. I mean, there's definitely worse puzzles in different survival horror games, but these can, you know, they can slow you down, especially if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, because the items needed in these games, you're picking up just like statues, like objects, and it's taking up space in your inventory. So that's one hurdle. Two, and maybe the bigger hurdle is that I don't know what the heck this does. There's sometimes it's not obvious that, oh, this arrowhead goes on this wall here, and you're just kind of like walking around for a long time. And so, yeah, if you're not experienced with these types of puzzles, you have to really like exploring games. Like, you have to love exploration, which luckily I do, and so it definitely works for me.
Yeah, the whole find something and then interact with it in an interesting way, or take it to another place where you've noticed an interaction, and then that becomes the puzzle, as opposed to, I don't know, more a typical puzzle where like everything you need is presented to you. But this sort of like explore and find kind of reminds me of point and click games. which is not a vibe that I really like. I like having to think. I like strategy and figuring out how something works and feeling rewarded for solving like clever puzzles. But these just like find something random and then hope you notice the one place it goes don't tend to be my personal favorite. But I think they fit for this kind of game because you have to be going all the places, and that gives them an opportunity to throw lots of zombies at you and to make you explore and not just sort of, I don't know, play it safe. And so I get why they do it, but it's not my personal cup of tea.
But something I appreciated at least about that, like search every room, try to find something, to solve the puzzle, is that your map tells you in this game if you've completely searched a room. And so it turns from a red color to a green color if you've found everything there is to find in that room.
That's great.
And yeah, that helps not waste a lot of time doing the, you know, the equivalent to hunt for the pixel or like find this one puzzle piece or something like that.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. A lot of games could take notes from that mechanic. That's pretty sweet.
And this game, it rewards you for learning everything, because there's, on top of the regular two characters, there's also all these extra modes. Like there's invisible enemy mode. There's an extra hard mode. There's there's a mode where you gotta like where you can unlock it by beating the whole game with a knife, which I've done that.
Yeah.
And it's just, and that's where Chris comes in handy, because he can take more, you know, and there's all kinds of stuff. You gotta beat it under 3 hours, under 5 hours.
I want a mode where you're the zombie coming into a human mansion and you're just going around eating everything.
They have a game. Yeah. They have a Resident Evil game where you become the zombies. It's Resident Evil Outbreak. It used to be online.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it was a PS2 game.
Yeah, weird. You got your wish, Dustin.
Aged.
So clearest thing, right, are the graphics. Like, that is such an incredible upgrade from the original game. I don't know if you guys have seen the original ones. Obviously, you have Limit Break. But the character models here, it's just a world apart from what was created and given to us 6 years prior.
Definitely.
Yeah,
and I think they did an amazing job. Like the shadowing, that's not what it's called. The lighting, the drop shadow. There was just very perfect ambience the whole time. Like when you go outside and you go in the courtyard area, the like spotlight was blinding, but it was realistic. And so I had trouble seeing Jill when I was out there. Yeah, the graphics are perfect.
And when we say that the graphics are perfect, I have to say they just made a really intelligent choice about how to go about doing the graphics, because it's not like the GameCube is actually this super beefy system. In fact, they had talked about the developers had talked about the possibility of like rendering everything, you know, 3D, and chose not to, just to not overtax the system. Like, it was light years ahead of where the original one was living, but we're not talking super high fidelity modern games. It's still just a GameCube. And so what they did is have pre-rendered backgrounds, and so you had limited camera, but all of your player interactions are fully 3D rendered. And that balance was just really wise. And it also, I don't know, it kind of let them choose how you were going to see each scene, which I think gives them a lot of artistic liberty too. And so it was a really good in-between of making it look the best they could with what they were given and not letting those limitations slow them down any.
Yeah, they even did that in the original, because I did play the original this week too. It only takes me like a little over an hour to beat the original. But even in the original, you could still see like the pictures on the wall. You could tell what they are because they're all pre-rendered. So they spent more time on the character models and just pre-rendered everything. So that helps the character models.
Yeah, that's surprising more companies didn't do that at the time, because it was effective here. And something you mentioned, Kenny, that I love and think ages beautifully is the whole camera angle thing. You said they kind of control how you experienced each scene. And like, again, running through a hallway, you're looking at the back of Jill, third person. You get to the corner and turn the next way, and the camera's like a side view of you walking to the side, like someone's watching from outside in. And that kind of does two things. It's cool because you can see a different side of your character and of the mansion, but it also is eerie because it feels like someone's watching you. It's such a brilliant way to handle like camera. It can be frustrating at times, but I loved it.
That's the way to do it. If you're going to do a survival horror, then they need to, it's better if they're in control of the camera, because then they can show you what they want to show you when they want to show it to you.
Yeah, and it adds to the suspense of turning corners and all that good stuff.
Opening doors. Every door opened was a terror in this game.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I got to talk about how they did doors, because that was really wise, too. They used doors. It was annoying, but...
Because you do it so many times.
Right, so you're jumping between scenes, so you have to have, like, a loading animation. Yeah. And so during the load screen, they take the actual door that you're working through that's unique and all look different, and then sort of show it opening and have the squeaky hinge and the whole thing. So it kind of ties the scene you're in and the next scene together through the load animation. And I know there's a lot of them, but I thought that was a really good way to do that without immersion breaking. And I don't know, I thought that was a really wise choice.
Yeah, and a lot of the doors too, depending on the type of door, they have different sounds. So if you have a broken rickety door, it'll sound like a broken rickety door. If you just have a regular wooden door, it'll sound like that.
I actually noticed that, and that's a key when it comes to this game. They were able to create this ambiance all throughout the mansion, and they do it in so many different ways, from sound to music to the look and feel of everything. Sometimes there was no music. Sometimes there was just this subtle music. Sometimes there was these ambient noises of the mansion. You talked about doors sounding differently. There's different floors that sounded differently. Mm-hmm. So some of the wooden floors are solid and you can hear that, and some are creaky and you can hear that. And so like every new room, not only was a new place to explore, but it was a new feeling of like, just this unsettling. You really felt like you were in a real living, breathing mansion if it wasn't for the slow loading doors that took me out of immersion a little bit.
Yeah. There's even a hallway at a point in the game, and it's just a hallway that leads to this kitchen area. But there's little puddles on the floor. So if you're running on one side, it'll sound like you're running on metal. But if you hit the puddle, it'll sound like you're running in water. It changes like that instantly.
Those kind of details are so cool to see when they put that kind of love into the little things in a game. Like that's how you get immersion. And immersion is huge in making a horror survival game actually scary. If you don't feel like you're in it, especially in a third person game where it's not you, but you're just watching the action, it's not going to be nearly as effective or scary. And so I think they nailed it on sound effects. They were smart enough to have control of the camera angles and what you were seeing and where zombies were coming from and how light and dark things were. And they also did a good job just setting mood with some of their music, or lack thereof, at different parts, choices.
One aging aspect that I think I struggled with this week was the controller. So I used my GameCube controller when I played this game. I have an adapter that makes it USB. And I love the GameCube controller, one of my favorites of all time. But the D-pad sucks. It's very tiny. And you have an option in this game to turn off the joystick controls. So there's two different control types. It's use a joystick and kind of have a lot of control. Some would say it's a lot of control, or the old school way from the original game, which is more, it's D-pad oriented and it's a little more like turn, move. I actually prefer that, the D-pad mode, but in this case, the GameCube controller D-pad sucks. And so I just had a weird controller experience this week.
Yeah, the tank controls, I think they did it just to add to it, because I played it on PS4 this week and it has the original and then the alternate, where you can just spin in circles with the analog, and it makes the game 100 times easier because you're not limited at all. So you can dodge everything.
Yeah, I didn't even know there were those options. I was that tank, you know, moving around. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, with the right analog, I could do a quick flip around, at least on my controller, but you could do a quick like 180. So if I needed to quickly run away from something, I could turn around quickly, and that was appreciated.
Yeah.
If you like this kind of game, you've got the original PlayStation version, you've got this GameCube, but then there's like 20 plus Resident Evil games. Limit, have you played a lot of them or some of them, and which ones would you suggest people play if they were in the Resident Evil series?
Well, I've played every single Resident Evil and beat it. except for there was one weird one on mobile phones back in the mid 2000s that I'd never played.
That doesn't count.
But yeah, that's the only one I haven't played, but definitely I'd recommend this one. The remake of 2, because the remake of 2 is just a better game than even this one.
The most recent.
Yeah, it's the most recent one. Capcom really knows what they're doing with these remakes.
Sure.
And then 3's really good. I'd recommend 4, but everybody's played 4 or knows of 4. I definitely wouldn't recommend 5 or 6. They're good co-op games.
You wouldn't?
No, they're terrible. They're good co-op games, but they're bad Resident Evil games. If they had a different name, they'd be an amazing game, but... And then 7 for the new gen consoles. 7 was like a restart of the franchise.
So play them pretty all. Much, yeah, anything but 4 and 5 is pretty much what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and 6. Even 0. 0 4, 5, plays like this one too, except there's except there's two people. You have to control two people throughout the game, Rebecca and Billy.
Interesting. Well, if you like Resident Evil, there's plenty of options to choose from. Go and try one of those.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episode, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Limit Break, you're our esteemed and honored guest for this episode. How about you go first and just tell us why you love this game so much? In summary.
I love zombies. I know they're a big fad right now, but I've been into zombies for 23 years now. And
he's a zombie hipster.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's just, I love everything about this franchise. I mean, I know like the whole backstory of how everything started, and it's just got a lot of deep lore into it if you really get into it. And it's just a really fun game for me. It's the best that you can get.
Awesome. Yeah. Kenny?
Yeah, so I have a hard time with survival horror. I definitely am. It's not my go-to on where we land in gaming preference, but it's Capcom and it shows. They made a great game. It's lovingly crafted. It does what it's supposed to do really well. The survival stuff is real. The limitations on everything that you have is real, and it was really well made.
So that's two yeses. Nolan, I'll let you go and then I'll just conclude.
Okay. So I think what's really cool about this game is that for a lot of series to get into them, you usually want to start with maybe the newest one and then go back. But this is a rare case. It depends on your play style. I know, Dustin, you like to start from the beginning, but this is a rare case where the first one, and yeah, I know it's a remake, but that's my point. Play this one first. It's still so good. It aged extremely well. And I think that it might be one of the best in the series, even with all the new ones. So I definitely recommend this game. I think it's so easy to play. Like, if you don't have a GameCube, if you don't have the original one, it's on Steam. So, like, you have no excuse. Play Resident Evil Remake.
Yeah, and then I agree. Resident Evil is not everyone's cup of tea because being scared is not everyone's cup of tea. We've used words in here like enjoy and like, and I would never say I enjoyed this game. It was terrifying. It was scary. But that's exactly what it's supposed to be. And they do a really good job of immersing you into this mansion. These characters make all the wrong decisions. Like, if you ever get in this situation, don't split up. Like, that's a bad idea. And I know it's a part of the story as you find out more and more, but you get some cool choices to make near the end of the game, and they just do really well at putting you in a world that's going to scare your pants off. And so for sure, you've heard it. Resident Evil, the remake, is New Game Plus certified. We had a few people write in and let us know their thoughts. Antonin said, I absolutely loved this game, but I don't think I can keep playing it. I had to give up midway through the week, and I picked up Cat Tales instead. The music, atmosphere, story, all of it was compelling, creepy, and really a masterpiece in immersion. So much so that I just couldn't play it. It was too much for me. I was constantly on the edge, and I kept missing obvious clues because I wanted to make it from one safe spot to the other without incident. And still, there was some stray demon dog that would come kill me without provocation. Why demon dog? Why? I love dogs. The puzzles were just right, the right level of difficulty, even for me, a puzzle hater, which is saying something. The mansion exploration was a delight and my favorite part, and I'll end with this. If you can find Resident Evil, but without the zombies, the eerie music, and without having to unleash the biggest evil of all creation, let me know. I'd play that game. Like the Hercule Poirot, I think that's how you pronounce that guy's name, a posh mystery murder where you explore an exquisite bourgeois mansion and a beautiful blooming garden instead of a personal backyard cemetery and a portal to hell.
What's wrong with the portal to hell? Look, you're in luck, Antonin, because this game's really entertaining to watch. You should either watch a speedrunner or just watch someone play through the game. Because I've done that multiple times. It's a lot of fun to watch, too.
Yeah, we could also just recommend that he play Casper.
Okay.
Garlisle said, I have some trouble getting into the game this week, but I expected it, having played classic Resident Evil games before. The bulky control style can feel like an obstacle until you get used to it again, and sometimes you just don't want to get stuck combing back and forth trying to find that one interactable thing you missed. Also, door animation load screens walk a thin line between adding tension and wasting time. That doesn't mean I don't highly respect the game. For all of its little things, the original Resident Evil redefined the face of a genre alongside Silent Hill. Then this game defined what remaking a game should be like, taking advantage of a generational leap to execute even better on what the original tried to portray. A hauntingly dark, ambient, and detailed environment that is still so well executed to be genuinely scary sometimes.
Well said.
Limit, you mentioned that Capcom just understands remakes. Do you think they should keep remaking the series?
I think they should remake 3 and then just stop there. There's no need to remake 4. It's 4 is like Skyrim.
It's more modern.
Yeah, it's just like Skyrim. Gotcha. It's on everything. I'm surprised it's not on mobile phones.
He hates it. You hear the disdain in his voice. Tom wrote in and said, I revisited this week, played every Resident Evil game as they've been released, never played this HD remake, but I've had it sitting on my PS3 for a few years. This is an incredible game if you have time to game. I loved the first two Resident Evil games, especially the tension, the inventory management, the exploration and backtracking, and the save system. However, as an adult now with kids and multiple jobs and blah, 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 I just couldn't get comfortable with how unforgiving these elements were. I'd say future Resident Evil games refined these elements to appreciate gamers' time. If this game had a hidden inventory for story progression items like keys, things required for puzzles, etc., and an inventory management for your herbs, weapons, etc., I think it would have been much more enjoyable for me. I also started with Chris and later learned he has fewer inventory slots. That said, this game is awesome. New game plus, just not for 30-something-year-old me. More for summer break high school me.
Go back in time. That's a good suggestion, though, with the inventory. That would have been a nice quality of life thing. But I think it's just so intentional, though. They want you to have that limited space.
Oh, they did it on purpose.
Yeah,
they totally.
And then finally, Astral Orange said, this was my first game in the Resident Evil franchise, as well as my first survival horror game. This game, to me, is the quintessential survival horror game. Not only did it vastly improve the graphics and atmosphere from the original, which I later played for comparison, but also added new rooms and puzzles and made the game as a whole feel more immersive and spooky. This is undoubtedly one of the best survival horror games I've ever played, if not the best. Didn't he say it's his first? Anyways, this game took me from knowing practically nothing about the series to becoming a huge fan of it. If you are a fan of the survival horror games and have not played this game, what are you waiting for? This game is a masterpiece in my eyes and undoubtedly gets New Game Plus status for me. Wow. You got a convert this week.
Yeah, I talked to him a lot this week. He he likes the Resident Evil.
You primed him.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for writing in. You, listener, can always send in your commentary on the Retro Game of the Week to ngppodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to include your thoughts as a part of the show. But for now, we're going to put Resident Evil to the side, and we're going to randomly select our next game, but not as random as what we sometimes do, because...
air horns. Bwah, bwah, bwah.
It's another Patreon pool. Kenny, welcome back to the show. What's a Patreon pool?
Patreon pools is our chance for our supporters on patreon.com to have input into the games that we play. Now, not everybody will choose to support the show at the level where you get to dictate a game 1 week, although that is clearly an option. But if you support the show at the levels listed on patreon.com, you have the chance to put in votes for a much smaller selection of games instead of the giant Retromaster list. And so this summer, we're doing a whole bunch of those as a way of thanking those who support the ongoing production of the podcast. And so thanks for all of your patron submissions.
But this is the finale of the...
Is this the end of the pool party?
This is the end of the pool party, bro.
That means we got to make a big splash. It's got to be something...
Yes, nice. And we are, because we're playing this game for 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, nice. That's... I kind of like double week games.
Do you remember? Because Retro Recap comes out.
That's right.
And then we do this episode. So we'll play whatever game this is for 2 weeks in a row. And so you might be happy if the game selected is one of... like we've had submitted.
Right.
Ocarina of Time, or The Sims, or Final Fantasy IX. You might not love it if it's a game that's picked like WrestleMania 2000, or Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
What?
Or,
I totally love that.
But like, 2 weeks, dude? Weeks,
sure.
No.
We've also got Turok and Live a Live and Black and White, Cool Spot, South Park, Parasite Eve, and many others.
Whoa.
And we are going to randomly select from that list now. For the next 14 days, let's just say 7 days times two, we're going to be playing an action-adventure stealth video game that came out for the PlayStation 2 in 2001.
Huh.
It is the direct sequel to the original title in this series that was developed and published by Konami.
Already hyped. Oh. You know how I feel about sequels. Oh.
The director, producer, and designer's name is Hideo Kojima.
Okay, here we go.
So for the next 14 days, 7 days times two, we're going to be playing Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty.
We played the first one on the podcast.
We did early on.
Early. Yeah, we're continuing. Early.
Within the first two, so don't go listen to it. It's awful.
Who submitted this one? Do you know?
Yeah, this game was submitted by Grim.
Grim, thanks for that submission. This one should be fun for 2 weeks.
I enjoyed the first one, but I only can imagine that the limitations that they had in the first one, they were able to... you know, fix and solve for the second one. I bet the second one is even better than the first.
We will see, Kenny.
It's almost always true, so I'm excited for it.
Join us in Discord this week. We're going to be talking about this game and Resident Evil and all kinds of games. So go to ngppodcast.com and click join us in Discord, please.
Hey, we want to say a big thanks to all of our patrons that support New Game Plus. We'll start with Limit Break. Just want to say thank you so much initially for coming and being on the show today and helping us to share one of the games that you have such fond memories of. It was a blast to get your insight, and we're so appreciative of your time today and your support.
Well, it's in large part to Limit Break and the others that you're about to mention that we did our 24-hour live stream.
Absolutely.
And it's in big thanks to Limit Break currently, and it might change after the summer, so you guys want to hop on this quick if you want to, but we are $20 away from recording a D&D session.
Oh my goodness. That might be the best or worst thing of all time.
I need like 15 people to quit supporting the show
to
save me from having to deal with Dustin as a DM. Yeah, so we've got fun stretch goals, and we're hitting some of the big ones that we've had out there for a while. We're at a point that we may need to kind of come up with some new goals, and your support and ongoing, just willingness to give us your ears and some of your resources as well, at whatever level you can, is super humbling, and we're so thankful. So our producer-level supporters, we want to say thanks to, for the first time this week, though he's been probably the longest supporter of the show that we recall, Antonin is a producer of NGP Podcast. And we also want to continue to thank Corey, Maxima, Garlisle, Limit Break, as we've said, Richard, Zach, Dear Baby, Grim, and of course, Zion. Also a big shout out this week to William and Bryce for giving us some support for their first time as well.
You can find us on our social media at Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch, NGP Podcast, YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast. Just go to ngppodcast.com. You'll find it all there. Listen to us directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, please leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our really good friend that we love so much, Tom Tate.
Yes.
Join us next week as we play... I almost said Resident Evil 2. Like, are we just going through whole series?
Just start the series.
Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty. And until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Jill Valentine's Beret.
And that's Limit Break. And this has been a special episode of New Game Plus.